Hello, everybody. In a month where more Germans have invaded England than in 1945, the EDL have attacked anyone with a funny name and beard, and Oscar Pistorius was refused entry into this month's edition of Celebrity Mr. and Mrs. You will be remembering only one thing. Where was I when I heard the first edition of the Kickboxing Trim podcast? The answer, knowing the type of people that will actually listen to this, is quite simple. You probably sat on the couch after watching Jeremy Kyle and waiting for your gyro to cash. Welcome to this month's Kickboxing Trim podcast.
Talk about life and talk about death and everything in between like it's nothing, and the words are easy. You talk about me and talk about you and everything I do like it's something that needs repeating. I don't need an alibi, you're for you to realize the things we left unsaid. I've only taken space up in our heads, making my fault, win the game, point the finger, place the blame, and curse me up and down. Doesn't matter.
In this month's edition, I'll introduce you to some of our hosts, as well as some of the regular features you'll be hearing. I'll let you know about some ways you, our dear listener, can contribute, and a special performance from an unsigned act. Go easy with us, it is our first time, a bunch of flowers and a bottle of wine to loosen us up wouldn't go amiss. You can, of course, join us on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/KBS podcast. And I'll tell you about our Twitter account later on the show. My name's Phil, and I'm going to be your host. I've got a lot of thank yous to people that made this possible, but that's for later on. For now, get a drink, put your phone on silent. If you're easily offended, turn off now, because to be quite honest, I couldn't give a toss. Right then, so seeing as how this is the first episode of the Kickboxing Trim podcast, we'd better introduce you to a few of the guys that are going to be contributing. First up this week is Chris, so I'm going to hand you over to Chris, who's going to introduce himself to you.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm going to be covering the gaming and movie review sections here on the KBS podcast. I've been a gamer now for about 20 years, and I've been playing in clans for about 15, mainly first-person shooters, the occasional bit of a strategy or RPG game. Quite a few MMOs as well. I've also been a movie buff most of my life. I've got a pretty gigantic DVD collection. I've watched a lot of films, so hopefully I can share some of my knowledge and experience with you guys. I'm also a student and a father of three, so I don't get a lot of time and money to commit to my hobbies, but I do get to buy the occasional new game and sometimes get to go to the cinema to watch a new film. A lot of my time is spent playing free games. And I get a lot of my films off on demand. A lot of that's free through Love Film, which is a service provided by Amazon. Another good thing I've got is PlayStation Plus account, which I've got through my PlayStation 3. I've paid £40 for a year's subscription, and for that year's subscription you get a premium game every month. You get a couple of other, usually indie games. They're all really good, and it's a brilliant way to get a lot of games for next to nothing. Steam's a really good option as well. Through Steam I found PlanetSide 2, which is a really good first-person shooting game. It's not just a first-person shooter, it's a massively multiplayable first-person shooter. So instead of the usual size maps, they're about 30 times the size of a Battlefield 3 map. Massive maps, about 2,000, up to 2,000 people playing on them at once. It's a really good tactical, squad-based game, and I'm really enjoying it. This week we're talking about the Xbox One reveal. I've got Phil here with me. He's an avid Xbox fan. I'm more in the PlayStation camp at the moment, but I'm waiting for Microsoft to sell me their product. I haven't managed it yet, but hopefully E3 will bring some new stuff, and we'll talk about that next month. Okay, so this week, of course, we're talking about the Xbox One. Big news this week, of course, everyone's talking about it. Some people are talking about it negatively, some people are talking about it positively. I'm not particularly negative at this point. I'm still an optimist, waiting to see what happens at E3. They said they're going to bring us a lot of games, a lot of exclusives in the first year, of course. Maybe they will show us, maybe they won't. But people who are Xbox optimists are looking forward to E3, and I think everyone else has already jumped off the bandwagon. Phil here is one of those optimists. So, tell me straight off, Phil, what is it that you're looking forward to the most? so I can knock you off your perch.
I'm in the optimistic camp this week, am I?
Yeah, you are.
I think, obviously, we're looking for the next generation. It's been like 8 years, I think it is, since the original Xbox 360 came out. We wanted something bigger and better than what the PS4 could offer, but we haven't seen any pictures of the PS4 yet, so nobody knows what it looks like. We know exactly what it's going to be.
Just a little tease.
Yeah, have we seen the controller, I think, haven't we? Or is that all we've seen?
They showed a bit of a reveal the other day. It wasn't a reveal as so much as lots of murky little images and lots of soft focus. Barely showed a thing, really, and lots of really, really tight close-ups on vents and little bits of detail.
So, computer porn, then?
Yeah, basically. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there sat there like trying to piece it all together, make a little PS4 jigsaw of what it actually looks like.
Yeah, there's a lot of fan-made creations out there, but Microsoft went the other way and completely showed everything all at once. How can I put it?
Apart
from the games. As an old-school 8-bit computer enthusiast, square lines and right angles do it for me. So it kind of looked all right. I would have preferred to be a bit more smoother and silkier than the Xbox 360 is now, but they've gone another direction, so I don't exactly know what they're doing with that.
I think to see it in the flesh would be a different matter. I mean, I haven't really got a real feel for looking at the pictures how big it is. I mean, obviously the first Xbox, which I did own, was gargantuan, and then the Xbox 360 was a bit sleeker.
Yeah.
And they've obviously pared down the 360 as they've brought out new iterations.
Yeah.
And then this new one looks massive, but the way they're talking in terms of features, they're talking about it as kind of being, I mean, they really, really talked it up as being like the centre of your living room, the centre of that entertainment experience. And I think if they can deliver on that, and the, more importantly, if they can deliver on that in Europe, because at this point, a lot of the HDMI pass-through features that they've talked about, so they're running it as your cable TV provider, running through it, and it basically being everything that you need to watch TV. I don't think anyone's going to care about it being this big black behemoth. I think people are just going to be like, it does everything. I don't care. You know, it can be centerpiece on my entertainment unit, and
it will
that's cool.
It will replace everything, because if you've got, like you say, HDMI throughput, it'll take, you don't have any Skybox there, you won't need any other Blu-ray, DVD, standalone things, you just use this box underneath your telly. And as a bit of a, like say, a gadget nerd, when the first Kinect came out, it was Ace just sat there telling the Xbox to play a DVD, and it was great, you could do it without lifting a finger. But with this one, it looks
the
like
stuff
you,
that the
you
demo
could do everything. Yeah.
Yeah, the stuff they demoed with it was pretty impressive. I mean, people talking about the worry about it being connected all the time and it being able to see you and hear you and stuff like that. It's like, who cares? You know,
it's
a gadget. You want it to be able to do all this cool stuff. You know, if it decides to jump off your TV and attack you, we'll deal with that later. You know, let's deal with it as a gadget, and as gadgets go, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean
I would go out and buy one tomorrow. If it came out tomorrow, I would go out and buy one tomorrow if they told me that all of those cool things worked in this country. But at the moment, they're kind of being a bit shifty about what's capable of doing in Europe. And I don't know, I think that was a lot of the problem with it. A lot of people's pessimism came from the fact that they were asking, obviously, like you say, they showed the full deck of cards, this is what it looks like, this is what it can do, this is the specs. But then when it came to, well, how much does it cost? They were really cagey. Well, is it a removable hard drive? They're sort of undenied about it. And eventually, no, it ain't got a removable hard drive. You're stuck with what it's got.
It's 500 gig, isn't it?
Yeah, are you going to charge us for a subscription? Well, we don't know what the subscription model is yet. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm not like a game journalist, but from my point of view, it all seemed, and obviously, everyone gets carried away on the internet, but from what I saw as a bigger picture, and I was trying to view it as kind of a bird's eye view rather than and throwing myself in and getting all emotional about it like some people have.
Yeah, they have.
You know, like talking about like it's the end of the world. But I don't know. I'm still a bit of a pessimist. We'll see what the games look like. Insofar as the games, I'm obviously, at this point, I'm going to be a PS4 adopter if I'm going to pick up a console,
yeah,
a next-gen console. I don't care what the PS4 looks like. I'm sure it'll look sexy as fuck. The PS3 looked awesome. The PS2 looked awesome.
The original
heyday, the PS1.
Yeah, the original PS2, PS3, sorry, looked sexy. Then they started messing with it and making it all horrible, looking like a Kinder toy.
Yeah. It's different strokes for different folks, and some people stuck with the old ones. I think you can still get the old ones. And
well, I was one of the bloody poor sons that got the second generation old ones that wasn't backward compatible. So I sat with one of them bloody crap ones. You can play PS1 games and PS3, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I still love my PS3. I love it. Kids love it. And the key thing for me with the PS3 is they started off a bit poor with the PlayStation Plus provider.
Yeah, definitely.
And they're way behind Xbox Gold, you know. But Xbox needs to do something really special with what they're going to do with the Gold package to match what they've done with PlayStation Plus now. Because I've had PlayStation Plus since last September. And since like September, I've been having to delete games because I've got that.
Right.
I can't keep up with the amount of games I've been getting on PlayStation Plus.
So it's PlayStation Plus, the PlayStation variant of the Xbox Arcade, where you can download old games and stuff and play them on from your computer.
PlayStation Network, the PlayStation Network store, is the version of the Arcade.
Right, yeah.
PlayStation Plus, I got it on a deal. I paid £30. And it should have been 40, and I get 12-month subscription to PlayStation Plus, and every month I get 3 or 4 completely free games, free.
So that's different
as part
from Xbox.
Of the subscription. So for £30, I've paid £30 PlayStation Network subscription to go onto the store to use online features on games entirely free. PlayStation Plus, if you want to pay £30 or £40 a year, you're getting 30 games minimum a year. You know, and I've had Hitman Absolution, I've had Borderlands, I've had Batman Arkham City, I've had...
Oh, so they're not all PlayStation games then, they're brand new, PS3, decent quality ones.
Not brand new, Mass Effect 3 as well. What else? Little Big Planet 1 and 2. people who already have the PlayStation Plus know that they're getting an absolute storming deal.
Yep.
I haven't bought a PlayStation 3 game since last September because I can't keep up with the games they're giving me for free.
That was the same as me, but for different reasons.
Yeah. it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. If they can keep that momentum, I think anyone who isn't hardcore Xbox, you know, hardcore into the Halo, one of the people who believes that the live service is better for games like the big games like COD, I think it's going to be hard to touch PlayStation 4.
Well, that was the one thing. That's one thing the PlayStation had criticisms for when they first came out was the live service wasn't as user friendly and as reliable as
online stuff was rubbish when they started. It was really rubbish, and I don't know what strings they pulled to. I mean, because it almost seems like they're just screwing themselves over with PlayStation Plus, but it's really fantastic. It really is, and I can't say enough about it. Everyone I know has got a PlayStation. I say to them, get PlayStation Plus, and everyone who hasn't got a PlayStation, I say, get a PlayStation because
of PlayStation Plus.
£30, £40 a year, and they will give you free games, really good games.
Yeah.
And I mean, you do, even if you just talk the premium game they bring out, like this month it's going to be Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. So in 2 days, another benefit of PlayStation Plus is you get automatic updates. So you can set it so that 2 o'clock in the morning my PlayStation turns itself on and downloads anything new. So I can set something to download, turn my PlayStation off, and then it'll turn itself back on at 2 a.m. and download everything. So when my new PlayStation Plus games come out, I put them in my download queue, do whatever I want to do, and then 2 o'clock in the morning it wakes up, downloads them all, installs them all, and then when I wake up at whatever time I wake up at, they're there ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Not with a nine-month-old baby.
No, that was one of the things with the PlayStation, wasn't it? It was every time you put the disc in, it needed to upload or download new updates. So if you're dead connected to your wireless connection, that was it. You were there for 2.5 hours while it updated. So it sounds like they've sorted that out.
Something I'm really looking forward to with the PlayStation 4, you know, they're talking about you see a game on the PlayStation Store you like, you start it downloading. You don't just start it downloading, the game loads, and you start playing the game.
All right, yeah.
It downloads while you're playing it.
Well, that's a new thing.
Which is just awesome.
Yeah. I remember one of the old Spectrum and Amstrad games doing that years. It used to, on the tape, you used to play the game while it loaded the next level, if you got that far, but, you know. So it's an old feature brought new again.
Oh yeah, it's way up to date, so I'm really looking forward to that. But I'm remaining pessimistic about the Xbox, but I'm going to give it a chance to grab me at E3. So I'm hoping next month in this podcast I'm going to do an E3 update.
Cool.
Maybe excuse me.
We'll cut that bit out. It's all right.
Yeah. I'll maybe get on my knees and prostrate myself to Bill Gates and all his mates and say, send me an Xbox, I'll send you a check.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, the Xbox is, all this rumour with this generation was around pre-owned games, wasn't it, and what we're going to do and how they're going to manage it. And it's been announced what the Xbox One are going to do with pre-owned games now. You actually buy the physical media, don't you, and you get delivered a code with it, and it links that to your gamertag. And if you ever want to sell the game on, you can sell the game, but then the poor sucker that buys it at the other end has then got to buy another code to reactivate the game. But of course, it didn't tell us how much these codes are going to cost. If it costs a couple of quid, not bad, but if you're going to end up paying 10, 15, 20 quid for a brand new code, that's just going to kill the second-hand market. And I think PlayStation have maybe waited to see what Microsoft have done before they announce what they do. So that could actually swing the whole next generation in Sony's favour.
Yeah, it does seem the whole thing when Sony were like, right, we're going first, I thought, oh, God, don't cock it up,
because
I really want this to be good, and I'm really scared that Microsoft are going to tempt me over to the dark side, and I'm going to have to drop my PlayStation Plus account, because I'm really, really counting on PlayStation Plus carrying on and being, bigger and better. And be carrying that subscription over. That's going to be a big ask from the people who are going to buy a PlayStation. But if they can do it, that's just going to completely sell it to me without a doubt.
Yeah.
And Xbox need to pull something bigger out of the pants.
Well, Xbox, if you look at it from just a purely mother's going to buy a kid a computer game console at the end of the year, I've got the stats in front of us. I mean, the Xbox, this generation has come with Blu-ray, so obviously they've got rid of the HD DVDs that went down the pan as quick as Betamax did. But they've got the Blu-ray, they've got the Blu-ray player built in now, which is a plus for me, because that's the only reason I've got a PS3, is for the Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
It doesn't have... it's not backwards compatible. You can't play any of your Xbox 360 games on it, which was
not only that, but all the people who spent £150-£200 on the Turtle Beach headsets.
Yep, they will
Microsoft have announced in the last few days. We've brought out this amazing new partnership with Turtle Beach. We're going to make all these amazing new headsets that are going to knock your socks off.
Yep.
I'm going to charge you another 200 quid for them. And everyone's like, whoa, what are you doing? Hang on, I paid 150 quid for these fucking headphones.
Yep.
I can't use anymore. And it's like, I just thought, Microsoft, what are you doing?
Well, they've been like this ever since the days of Windows 3.1. Every generation's pissed off the one before. It's like a new Doctor Who. You always like the old Doctor, but as soon as you got used to the new one, everything was all right. But with this... I am an optimist, because I've been Xbox right from launch day, the Xbox One, when I was there with my Halo and Abe's Odyssey, I was playing them. And now this Xbox One's coming out, and I'm like, there's a lot of negatives, but I'll let them do it. You know, they know what they're doing. We'll see what happens. And there's been some prices leaked as well. Have you seen that on, was it Zavvy.com? Somebody got hold of some prices that were leaked on there, and they were showing us £300 for the base model, which in these days, I don't think that's too bad for a base model. But
I hadn't seen anything about prices, so that's £300 is... The only question is that £300 with an Xbox Gold subscription tacked on? So is it going to be that you get your Xbox on the proviso that you get an Xbox Gold. If that's £300 and you get a Gold subscription bundled in and you get something more for your Xbox Gold and not just, here you go, you've paid this amount per year and now we're going to let you play games online, then that's brilliant. Because, I mean, I'm not an Xbox 360 owner, but as far as I can understand it, the Xbox 360 is streets ahead still in terms of what people want as a community.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Play
yeah.
these
yeah.
games online. You know, PlayStation 3 has got the, well, we'll give you all these free games, but Xbox is still kicking trash in terms of, well, you've got this cool little avatar person that,
yeah.
you know, tells all your mates how many trophies you've got. Oh, there's trophies in PlayStation 3, but
it's gamer points.
It seems to be this bigger thing.
You'll get lynched if you call them trophies. It's gamer points. Gamer score, sorry, it's games.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to get people knocking on my door now, aren't I, with pitchforks.
Yeah, you'll be getting beat to death with the old Xbox One controller.
Well, fuck. I think I might have one in my loft still. Well, I'll get mine out.
Yeah, I've got one holding my foundations up in my house over that big.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've still got my Xbox, and I've considered getting it down from the loft and letting the kids have a go. And then I kind of looked at my hands and I thought, well, my hands can handle it. And then I looked at the kids and I thought,
no chance.
It's not going to work, is it? It's like a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. Are they going to be able to? No, it's going to be like, whoa.
Not going to happen.
That's something with the new Xbox One. Very impressed with the controller. Looks like they've taken something that was already really good and they've just, like, we're just going to tweak this and leave it as it is. It was fine as it is.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, your little feedback rumble in your triggers now, so people can close their eyes and imagine that they're killing grunts in Halo.
Halo 5. Really there. That trilogy in 5 parts that they've got coming out.
Yep. And the TV series, of course, by Steven Spielberg.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, TV series was like a big thing. Right, we've got something big to announce. Not only are we going to give you an Xbox that plays games and controls your TV and lets you do fantasy football, but Steven Spielberg's making us a TV program. And everyone was like, you know, like, round of applause. Whoa, Steven Spielberg. So it could be, that could be huge, you know, and they've said this is going to be exclusive content for Xbox One owners.
All right, okay.
Whether or not they'll stay that way, but for people to be able to watch a live action Xbox experience that they've been experiencing for the last 10, 15, I mean, when did the first Xbox come out?
Christ, 2002.
People have been living. People have been living Halo for how many years, and now they're going to be able to watch Steven Spielberg direct Master Chief charging the lions. You know, that could be huge.
And if it's an Xbox exclusive, that obviously they're going to be streamed to the Xbox One owners. That is a big thing. That.
Yeah, and if they can run with that and have more entertainment partnerships. That could be huge. I mean, they've talked up the entertainment capabilities, so it's down to them to deliver. I feel like, aside from what the PlayStation 4 looks like, I feel that I know what they're bringing to the table, but the Xbox One is still kind of, this is why I'm still sat on the fence. It seems like there's a lot more there, potentially, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, it's one of those things that there's a lot of grey areas, unlike the computer, which is black and horrible. But what will happen is it'll come to Christmas, and then once this first Christmas is out the way and all the patches and updates are released, that inevitably will happen, then we'll know by about Easter time next year who's won it. Because while we're talking about these two, we haven't mentioned the Wii U, which is probably the best thing. Because I haven't got one, and I don't have any particular need to get a Wii U. I don't know about yourself.
No, I think everyone's forgotten about those already.
Yeah.
The joke is, you know, Wii U's almost up to this generation, this current generation.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Graphical and processing capacity, and then here comes Xbox One, here comes PlayStation 4, which are, again, a leap ahead, and the Wii U's like, but we've got this pad that if you want another one, it costs you £150, this pad.
Yep.
You can touch the pad and it does. And Xbox is like, well, we've got this app for your iPad or your smartphone, which you already own.
Which you can do anyway.
And you just use smart glass. And PlayStation 3 is like, well, you get your Vita and just, you know, you can pick your Vita up and carry on playing your game. Again, that's something, you know, I don't own an iPad, I don't own a Vita, but I'm more inclined to own an iPad. And I think if Xbox can do the smart glass app correctly, I think that'll be a huge thing as well. We're basically saying, we give you this Xbox One, and out of the box, it does everything. That would be, if they can give you a £300, even if it's £400, and it comes with a Kinect, and two controllers, and three games, I'll be happy. I'll pay £400, and I think everyone else will as well. Even if we're in a recession, you know, people brace themselves for these new consoles. They start putting some money to one side, thinking, I'm going to buy it. It don't matter how much it costs. I mean, people paid £600 for the PS3 when it came out.
Yeah, they did. It's weird, the time of it as well, because they are releasing them back end of the year. So you're talking November, December time, which is strange, because it's normally middle of the year when nothing else is happening, so it's going to be big, and they're going to see if they can get demand and the consoles in the shops ready for people. It could be down who could make them quicker, wins this Christmas. You just don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be like, I want an Xbox One for my kid. We've run out. Oh, well, just give me a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, it could be.
Or vice versa. It's.
What have you got left? I've got a Wii U. I'll leave it, thanks. Just leave it there.
I've got one already. It's propping my living room door open.
I think what did it with Wii U is that many people, like you said, that many people got iPads and smartphones that all the things that Wii U could do, I would rather sit on my iPad and play Simpsons Touch than I would load up my Wii and play Wii Bowling. But that was so 6 years ago, was the Wii. Nobody wants the Wii U anymore. Nobody cares about it. So that's. I think the best thing Nintendo could do is get out the hardware market, and because I'd love to play Super Mario Kart on the Xbox, with achievements, with online play, and all that kind of stuff. So I think
just we could see swallow your pride and do a Sega and just
make
software and forget about the hardware market. The hardware market is a two horse race.
Yeah, well, it always has been.
Just like anything else, isn't it? That you're always going to get down to the final two, where we're going to have a big standoff, and it's going to go on for however many years until forever. You know, are we ever going to stop playing consoles?
No, I mean, you could go right back, couldn't you? Because in the 80s it was Nintendo and Sega. Then obviously Sega gave up, PlayStation came in and killed off the Dreamcast, and then it went from there, didn't it? And then Nintendo's always got a niche market as Nintendo. It's like I'm a Nintendo fan. I love them to bits. I've got every console they've ever, apart from the Wii U. I've got every console they've ever done. But
yourself a Wii U, mate, before they stop consoles altogether.
They'll be selling them at the car boot sale. I'll have them down the car boot sale. It'll be 10 for a fiver shortly. But it'll be some Japanese knockoff, the Wii Do or something like that, that only plays one game and it's a Sega game.
I think you might be right.
Well, there you go then.
I think the hardware battle, it's a two horse race, but you've also got to consider now, you know, people are becoming more interested in the PC. I think PC is getting a resurgence.
Yeah.
I think if you look at Steam and the capabilities of Steam and the fact that Steam is talking about, well, we're going to release something that can play games as well, and you can plug it into the TV and look at the Steam library, look at all these thousands of games, and they're cheaper than Xbox and PlayStation games. And you've got an Xbox pad? Well, plug it in. You can play with that.
Yeah,
you've got a PlayStation pad? Yeah, we'll let you plug that in as well. You know, it's not only that, but you've got to consider the mobile market and how everyone has an iPhone, an iPad, HTC, whatever you've got that has Android or iOS and it can run, you know, decent games. You can play them wherever you want. They pick up and play. And consoles have got to do something special. They've got to do something more.
Yeah, they're going to have to, because at the end of the day, it keeps evolving. I never thought when I first put Super Mario World into my Super Nintendo years ago and flicked on that I could suddenly be playing online with people using a Kinect to talk to them across the globe and getting gamer points and all this kind of stuff. It boggles what's going to happen in the next 20 years' time when our kids are growing up and they're playing fully immersive 3D video games like they did on Red Dwarf.
Yeah. Red Dwarf is the future.
Yeah, no doubt we'll cover that in a future podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think that's more or less exhausted the issue of the Xbox One. If anyone, any listeners want to email in any questions, any burning issues, anything you want to shout at me about, have a go at me about the fact that I called Gamer Points trophies, give us an email, drop us a line and let us know. And thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Up next, for all you people that like your action sweaty, awkward and a bit chutty-feely, no, I'm not talking about last year's Coronation Street Christmas party, you're in for a treat. I'll let them introduce themselves, talking about all things wrestling.
Podcast based around wrestling.
Wrestling.
For men with men.
About men. Rubbing men.
All the time.
Every day.
Joining me tonight, I'm Wild Bill, by the way. Joining me tonight is one of my cohorts from the old arcade gaming podcast, Mr. DHD himself.
Me.
So basically, all I'm going to do is talk about wrestling on this segment and see where the thing takes us.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I was doing was, I was watching wrestling recently, of more modern sort of stuff, and I started to realise, I knew what was going to happen, I've read this online, this is the outcome.
Yeah.
And I thought back to when I was a kid, and I didn't know what was going to happen, everything was a surprise, and you read about politics and stuff now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just sort of like, I thought, let's have a quick crack about what we think it would have been like back then if we had ease of access to
the dirt sheets
and spoilers.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you go, let's go back to the 80s, say, and Hulk Hogan. If you'd have found out what a massive prick he was backstage,
yeah,
and his bullshit demands and stuff,
yeah,
he wouldn't have had the same impact he did getting everybody sort of involved with it.
Personally, I never was a Hulk Hogan fan, though.
No?
I was in the Warrior camp.
Well, I was a Warrior fan.
Warrior all the way.
But when I started watching it, there was no Ultimate Warrior.
No.
So I was a Hogan fan.
That was in Savage's camp.
You see, Savage went against Hogan.
Yep.
It's only later on that I sort of got to enjoy Savage.
Yeah. But as a kid, it's the character, not the man.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Ravishing Rick Rude beating Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental title.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bobby Heenan holding the boot.
The Heenan family.
Yeah.
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 That was one of the sickest suplexes ever, though. Because if you watch it, when you watch it back now...
He lands on his head.
Rick Rude lands on his head.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, though, if you watch the Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD, they go on about how bad of a wrestler Ultimate Warrior was and how good of a wrestler Rick Rude was, and how he was just carrying him through the entire thing.
It
was
all rude,
and he deserved to get it off him, he really did. But I see what you mean about the dirt sheets. It's odd now, because for a long time, I've been a Kurt Angle fan.
Yeah.
And the more I read about him, the harder it is to like him.
Right.
Because you read all the backstage stuff, you know, the fact he's apparently got a drug and alcohol problem, and he was obsessed with one of the girls in TNA, and he was stalking her, and he actually got, like, a restraining order against him and things like that. I mean, because in the ring, you can't fault the guy. He's still going.
No.
He's getting on a bit now, but he's still pushing it. But the more backstage stuff I read, the harder it is to like the guy. And sometimes I don't really want to know that. You know, it's entertainment. I want to like the wrestlers for the wrestlers.
Yeah. You want to enjoy it for, well, not the spot, but the entertainment value that it is.
Exactly. It's like, well, you watch a film, you shouldn't care about who the actors are, just how good of a job they do. Like Tom Cruise, I don't care who he is or what he does. when he's good, and I'll enjoy him in a good film.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, even moving on, I mean, stuff like The Rockers breaking up.
Yeah.
That was a massive thing because I was a Rockers fan.
Yeah, yeah.
So Shawn Michaels, Matty Jannetty had the long hair. It's one of the reasons I started to grow my hair.
Yeah.
All the wrestlers and all the rock stars that had long hair were awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, there were dirt sheets around back then. I didn't have access to them because I was a kid. And I don't think we really had that much ease of access to them. I mean, you can go on the internet and just type in pro wrestling news now on the internet and you find million sites.
Absolutely. Well, then again, this country, maybe the other thing that I imagine the dirt sheets back in the day before the internet in America, there was probably a lot of like newspaper stands, you know, like wrestling magazines and that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We didn't, the wrestling's never took off in a massive way in this country. It's big, but it's not mainstream big in this country, where America, it's, you know, it's up there with Monday Night Football.
Yeah, obviously it runs against them in the ratings and everything. Another thing was, you know, learning about Shawn Michaels. Because even as a bad guy, I liked Shawn Michaels.
Oh, God, yeah.
He was that big-headed dickhead that it was, what a bastard, I'm going to watch again, what's he going to do next?
Yeah. Well, me personally, he's my favourite wrestler of all time, Shawn Michaels. Right. I'm a HBK man, always up there. Yeah.
I mean, just like, obviously, the mid-90s happened and you had a lot of people jump into WCW.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, Lex Luger coming out on
the first Nitro show.
On the first Nitro. Obviously, nobody knew he was going to do it.
He was still under contract. Oh, no.
His contract ran out, say, midnight.
Yes.
And he appeared.
Yeah, so on Sunday his contract ran out. Monday he appeared on Nitro.
Yeah.
No one's seen that coming.
The same thing happened with Nash and Hall.
Yeah.
That genuine surprise sort of, why is he there?
Yeah.
He's just been on this program on the other channel, working for the rivals.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at that and the impact it had, you know, the birth of the NWO, which, without doubt, the start of the NWO is one
attitude
of the
era.
Biggest things to happen in wrestling to bring it into the mainstream again.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's easily one of the main reasons WCW beat WWF at the time.
Yeah.
In the ratings.
Yeah.
And if you'd have sort of, like, looked and went, oh, they're jumping ship. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Well, it's like anything though. It's like going to see a movie and reading what's going to happen before you go and see it. Like I said, the dirt sheets, I never ever read for spoilers. I always read them to know after what happened.
Yeah,
like things like, I remember there was a big, like, one WrestleMania, there was a big kerfuffle and I was like, what's going on there? And I read up later on, it's something like The Undertaker's lightning pyro had hurt a few people and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that was when the pyros were shooting from like the top of the ring where they had like the, what's the word for it? Like the shelter over the ring, in case it rained, up like wires running up to the top of the arena, and they had fireworks shooting off, and they were firing into the crowd.
Yeah, see, but that's the kind of thing. I mean, I love reading up on that stuff afterwards, but, you know, reading it beforehand, it's like anything. Why would you? But then again, the dirt sheet is not always about that. I mean, a lot of the dirt sheet is more about the backstage stuff than the spoilers, because when you come to the spoilers, they're never 100% accurate.
No. Well, I mean,
a lot of it's speculation.
A lot of it is speculation, and if somebody says this is going to happen and it doesn't happen, they've got that thing of, they've got that fallback of going, well, they must have seen how much it was on the internet, so they changed the plans.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember, like, before this year's WrestleMania, there was a lot of talk online. Everyone was saying that Punk was going to beat The Undertaker and kill the streak. And I actually believed it. I mean, I didn't actually watch WrestleMania. I just caught the highlights because I'm not that interested in WWE at the moment. But, like I said, I was convinced, you know, it made sense for Punk to win. Yeah. It turned out, but he didn't. Even though the entire of the internet seemed to think he was going to.
Every year it seems to come up with that. I mean, obviously when Undertaker sort of fought Shawn Michaels the first year, it was, these are sort of two of the oldest sort of people from back in the day when people were watching as a kid who were like our age or young adults in the 80s sort of thing. And it was, well, these two are the last sort of two of that generation. It could happen.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it, and there was a guy in the audience, I was watching more than the match, because every time Shawn Michaels kicked out, he cheered louder than everything. Whenever Michaels kicked out, he looked really angry.
Right.
He looked genuinely pissed off that he'd kicked out of this, especially when Taker sort of caught him trying to do the head scissors from over the ropes.
Yeah.
And tombstoned him, covered him. He got that the closest two count ever.
Yeah.
And the shoulder up. And the guy looked like he was about to jump the barrier and stab Shawn Michaels. He looked that angry.
As a proper fan or a deluded man. Yes. One or the other. But, I mean, there you go. I mean, the Shawn Michaels thing, I never thought either of them were going to win it. No. I thought Shawn Michaels, both years, could go either way.
Yeah.
Undertaker, I'm not Undertaker, sorry, Triple H, both years, it could go either way.
Yeah.
But Punk, I honestly thought Punk was going to win, because the argument was Undertaker's on his last run, Punk's the new face of the company, it's going to, you know, set Punk up as the man.
It's going to propel him into that limelight.
Exactly, and I thought, well, that makes sense. If he's going to lose to anyone, that's the best person, because he's the best person to pass the torch to at the moment. So that was the only cogent argument that I, you know, agreed with, and then, didn't happen anyway, so it didn't matter. So, yeah, like I said, the spoilers thing, pointless, but like I said, the main thing about the dirt sheets is, you read stuff, and you just, it's hard to like the guys you like if you know their backstories, and you shouldn't really know, because their private life is their private life. You know, I like to hear the politics, you know, Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy's had an argument backstage.
Yeah.
That's cool. Kurt Angle splitting up with his wife. I don't want to know that shit.
No.
And I don't think anyone else has the right to know that shit.
See, that happened, and then when they brought the angle into TNA storylines, I was like, I don't think they should have done that.
I tell you what, I was
like
that as well.
But it goes back to Vince Russo saying, writing what's real works for wrestling.
Yeah.
Sometimes too real. I mean, Lita and Edge got together behind Matt Hardy's back.
Yeah.
Everybody knew about this because of the internet.
Yeah.
And, as Edge as a heel got heat that he could never ever hope to get, but he also got heat backstage.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I mean, I don't think it's anyone's right to know that stuff.
No.
Storyline wise,
it's a private matter. Yeah. To be fair, Matt Hardy was the one who went online and started bitching about it.
So, but then again, look at Lita's the one who's got the right for that to be private.
Yeah.
I mean, I think storyline wise, we can find anything we want. Professionally wise, I'm still interested. The politics that go on behind the scenes, but personal life, that's where I draw the line. I don't want to know this stuff. I don't think anyone has a right to know it. I think it's straight with, I hate paparazzi in modern media anyway.
Modern sort of, let's just follow these people around trying to get a photo through a shaded window.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, look at that that big thing that went on the internet about, what's it called, Christian Bale shouting at that director. Now, that was on set, and that was professional, so I don't mind us knowing that. But then people following around and talking about him and his parents not getting on and that, no.
That's nothing to do with us.
That's his own life, and it's the same with us. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. Benoit.
Yeah. Even if I had no internet, that would have got into the mainstream media.
Well, I remember that was one of the only days I bought a newspaper, just to see how it had got, and
it was in the English newspapers, which was an example of how big it was.
Yeah.
I got called an idiot the other day because I said I prefer to remember Benoit as the wrestler he was.
Yeah.
I'd rather look back, think of him this way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I forgive what he does because he had an amazing match with so-and-so.
Yeah.
Nothing can excuse that, but to remember somebody as sort of the deeds that did rather than what ended it sort of thing.
I think the best way to look at it from my point of view is separate the character from the man.
Yes.
Condone the man, accept the character. It's like, I don't know, watching some movie. Someone plays Batman.
Yeah.
Now, you love the film he was in as Batman, and you looked at Batman, but the actor 2 years later kills somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you have to dislike the film. You just condone the actor.
Yeah.
But you like the character because he's playing a character. Benoit was playing a character. His character was called Chris Benoit. He is called Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
But he was playing a character. That's what wrestlers do. You can enjoy the character and condemn the man.
Yeah. I'm going to have to wrap it up because we're getting close to time. But in closing, I mean, obviously, the internet, as good as it is, ruins a lot of things. And I think checking out spoilers, storylines, I'd have hated it as a kid.
Yeah.
Because it still had that mystique. It was still real back
exactly,
then.
Exactly, you were still that mystique of, is it real, is it not?
Yeah.
You know, I am crying because Macho Man's getting bit by a snake.
Well, mine was Ultimate Warrior had Papa Shango
and
all the black stuff came off his face. I was like, he's really put a voodoo curse on him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think next time we'll try and make this more fun, because this has been incredibly frank and serious.
Yeah. I'm going to take it week to week. But
serious. Wrestling. Can't have fun.
Funny doesn't make money. That's a quote. Trent Barretta and another couple of the NXT sort of up-and-comers have made a series online called Funny Doesn't Make Money, and it's just them dicking about. It's brilliant. But if they want to catch you anywhere online, where can they look for you?
They can look for me on inappropriateyodding.com or just look for Oilers Old Arcade on Facebook.
Awesome. You can find me at Actual Wild Bill on Twitter or on Oilers All Arcade on Facebook. Search it up and get liking.
Yay!
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it. All about your debt. And if you can pay it. It's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game. You don't
wanna... It's time for this week's news headlines. British economy goes down the pan quicker than a Chinese baby. Paedophile teacher allowed to teach again. Non-uniform day takes a sinister twist. Will Roach, Rolf Harris and Jimmy Savile to star in a remake of Three Men and a Little Lady. And finally, a report to see if carrots can make you see in the dark. Can cabbage improve your hearing?
Part of the show, we're going to delve into our musical knowledge and name this section the very catchy Let's Educate, Stimulate, Brainwash, Inform All Our New Subscribers. This is the part where myself and Andrew will each pick two songs and try to convince the other it is a lament worth listening to. Then at the end, I'm going to pick a song that I guarantee everyone listening to this podcast will like, whether you're young, old, man, girl, boy, or even Justin Bieber. So without further ado, I think we should take 2 minutes to explain our musical tastes. So, hey up, Andy.
Phil.
Hello, Andy. Will you please explain to the KBS listeners what kind of music is currently on your playlist?
Well, Phil, the music on my playlist is varied in a non-varied sort of way.
Nice.
It ranges from old school rock, Ozzy Osbourne and the likes, all the way up to new metal and heavy as fuck shit.
Heavy as fuck shit. I've heard their B-sides are quite good.
Yeah, should have been number one.
And as for myself, I am a typical cheesy DJ. I do specialise in the finer tastes of music, from the chicken song right up to modern classics such as One Pound Fish. Like I said in the introduction, what we're going to do is we're going to play two songs each, and I think, since it's my podcast, I'm going to go first.
Okay, Doug.
So, are you ready for this? This is gonna blow your socks off, mate, right?
Okay.
Right, so the first track, see if you can guess what it is. It was released in 1999, and it reached the British top 10.
Okay. Stunned me.
Stunned you. It is off an album called Fin de Celeste.
What?
Yeah, that's what the album's called, apparently. They were a bit of a weird group, so I'm not entirely sure if you know the stuff, but the band created the theme tune to Father Ted.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it is a divine comedy.
Yes.
And this song is... That's right, you know this song.
Oh, yeah. What the hell?
Now, you're not telling me you do not know this song.
It's bloody...
I just told you what it bloody is. Now, Andrew, what does this song remind you of when you hear it? What does it remind you of? Tell me fun times and... Looking up into the sun and thinking, do you know what? I really want to go on a long, sweaty coach journey somewhere.
This song reminds me of a saloon bar.
Yeah!
For spittoon.
Fancy your cousins and all that kind of stuff. On that note, happy third wedding anniversary, adult. I don't think she'll download this story. Come on, Andrew, sing along. Here we go. Everybody sing. No, sing. Come on, Andrew, sing. Come on. It's what you do when you're in tune. Come on.
No, that's a nursery rhyme. That's Ba-Ba Back to Jean. Come on. Ba-dum, ba-dum. On the National Express, there's a jolly hostess selling crisps and tea. Crisps and tea.
Fucking love crisps.
What kind of, what's your favourite kind of crisps?
It's got to be scampi fries.
Oh, the scampi fries. I'm a disco man myself.
Squares?
No, no, discos.
Squares are nice.
No, discos.
They're the polar opposite of discos.
No, squares. I'm not square. Yeah, square. I'm not square.
No. Circle.
Discos. Discos is where it's at. Everybody
say!
Have you seen this guy that sings this song? He wears a suit all the time. Yeah, do you know like Barney out of How I Met Your Mother? Oh, right, okay. That changes that conversation. Check out the sound effects.
Modern day technology.
I tell you what, it's fucking amazing.
We're ahead of our time.
Go on! I should have been in a band, maybe. There was that time, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's quite enough of that shite.
Shite
right,
indeed.
Okay, so that you was my first it. Choice. You're going to download that. You know it's true. Right, this is your first song. And here we go.
So this is song title A New Beginning by a band called Threat Signal, Canadian band. Thrash metal, I'd say.
Hang on. Brian Adams comes from Canada.
He does, yeah. So does Devin Townsend.
Who?
Devin Townsend, another popular figure in my scene.
He used to play up front for Aston Villa, didn't he?
Yes. So can you feel it? Feel the ambiance there. Boom. And it hits you on the dance floor, head banging away with your air guitar.
I'll tell you what, them two songs do blend into each other quite nice, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Someone should do a collaboration.
Yes.
Singer with delicate lyrics, delicate style.
What is he actually singing?
Nothing, isn't
it? What?
Nothing at the minute. He said, yeah.
Nice.
Get your pumped up when you're at the gym. You're working out again.
Or about to teach kindergarten.
And the change from aggressive to chill.
Do you know what, right? Do you know what? I'm just going to turn that down there for a second. Do you know what I hear when I hear that music?
What?
Right, hang on. It'll blend in seamlessly. You ready?
Almost.
Well, that was the original lead singer of Threat Signal.
Were you?
Or Threat Signal, as we used to call them back in the day.
Oh, yeah. When he used to play wine bars.
Maybe wine bars, but
yeah,
we
only
put the caviar. Call it. Right.
Brilliant choice.
Brilliant choice.
No denying.
You could deny it, to be fair. And do you know what's going to make you deny it even more? My second track. Right, we're going back in time a bit here. 1993. A song by Apache Indian.
Apache Indian.
Reached number 5 of the charts. You should know this because it was on the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack.
I probably will know it then.
Probably will know it then. Right. It is a song.
Oh, yes.
We like this song.
Shakalaka. Boom.
Dude. Right, so I've done a few kids' parties in the past couple of months, right? I mean kids, as in 18-year-old because I'm a pretty old man myself.
Yeah.
And they all come and say to us,
what new music was Rihanna?
Rihanna.
One Direction. Don't want no cheesy songs.
And there is a song I was going to play today, because I know you like it secretly.
Yeah.
A song by S Club 7 called Reach.
Love that song.
I know, well, I know you do. That's for a future episode. Anyway. But every time I play that, they all come up and dance. And as soon as I play this, more people dance to this than to Reach by S Club 7. Now,
technically,
two people on the dance floor is more than the one person that dances to S Club 7, but we're not counting it yet.
More was that dance... one person you?
Yes, it was me. With the microphone. Come on, kids, come and dance with DJ Phil. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know what bit of the Dumb and Dumber this is off, by the way?
Hang on, I'll get it.
I've got a countdown theme here if you want to listen to that.
It's where he eats the chilies, no?
Yes, it is where he eats the chilies, yeah. I think. Hands on the postcard, I think I've got that right.
And it's when they're driving off?
Yes, I was going to say it was where they're hooking it on the, you know that little scooter thing? Right.
Yeah.
But it's not that, here we go, we're too fast.
Yeah.
That one. But anyway, we're interrupting that rock. Hang on. Right, see, told you, cheesy songs are the best. Right, what's your next song?
My next song is by a little band, they're not really out there that much, called Linkin Park.
Weren't they big in the 1990s?
Probably not. This is from the year 2000, off their debut album, Hybrid Theory. And the song's called Paper Cut. Now, I have to pick this song because they basically were part of the start of the new metal movement. I think
so. I have a theory as to why this is called Paper Cut. You can fill the blanks in yourself with that joke.
This is when rap metal was kind of coming into things. You had Linkin Park. What's it called? Limp Bizkit.
Soggy Biscuit. Was that Soggy Biscuit? Or...
Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit, sorry. Yeah. It's a different game.
Slipknot. The year before this, I think.
Did one of them die, Slipknot, a couple of years back?
Yeah, David Gray, the bassist.
Was he the one that wore the Basil Rush helmet? Or... I never really hit the new metal side of it. I kind of missed that. So if you were going to recommend one new metal album to listen to,
yeah,
what would it be and why?
Well, I think it would be Linkin Park, this album, to be honest. Because it's easy listening. Not all screaming, as you...
I can actually make out some of his words.
Well, that's just all great, that guy. Just... Fuck it. This album's got this everything. Everyone, really.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, really.
Really, okay. So that's Andrew's two songs for me.
Yes.
For the month, even. And I think we've both done pretty well for the first time. I think I won that one, Andy, to be honest, mate, because you like both my songs.
And you like both my songs?
I tolerated. I was like the Manic Street Preachers. I did tolerate this, but then mine were next. So
tolerate, like, you know.
God. It was all right. They were all right. They were brilliant. I'm not a big new metal fan, like I said. I mean, you might as well play Ozzy Osbourne, because I would like that. But...
Next month's song.
Mental note of that. Right. Yeah, so I might actually go and download that Linkin Park album. I think I've got it, actually. Hang on. South Park album, Take Fat and Party, Celine Dion, R.E.M., Bon Jovi, Beatles. No, I haven't. I need to go and download it. Right, so this is Phil's Banker.
Phil's a banker.
Heard it right. Phil's Banker. And this is the kind of song that when I play it, everybody sits there and goes, oh, ladies,
Now, we are at the time of recording, it's the 6th of June, so I might not get the same reaction if I play this song now as I would do at another time. But you know it. I know it. Sing along. And you're going to go, yes. Are you ready? You're going to go,
yes.
Yes.
I am ready.
So not to nick a phrase of our favourite sitcom, but Andy, brace yourself. It's the third time we've done that. Here we go. Sing along, Andy. Yes. You know the song. Are you hanging up the starting on the wall? Yeah, on the wall. It's the time every sound to have a roar. This was always on Top of the Pops every year, right? Yeah. You know,
Top of the Pops.
You know who introduced it most of them years?
Jimmy Speaker.
No, try again. Bear in mind this was released in the 70s. So, have a guess. Who do you think? In the 70s, who was big in the 70s?
Ozzy.
Yeah. Oh, coming up next is Slade with Merry Christmas, Rod.
Was it Noddy Holder that introduced
no,
himself?
No, he didn't. Who do you think introduced this song? Dead appropriate, considering there's a lot of kids around.
Cilla Black?
No, a lot of kids around.
Oh, Jim will fix it.
Jimmy Savile?
Yes.
Sit on my lap, Jill.
Close your eyes, pull the lollipop.
Sorry, because Walt Harris drew a picture of the bathroom. Right, so that's it from us, I think. So you've heard Phil's Big Banker.
Phil is a big banker.
Thank you very much for listening to this section. We're going to hand you over to the next bit.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm sat here in a 17 degree sweltering in my attic. And I'm listening to fucking Christmas songs. What's going on?
See your friends for like all Facebook page. Bitches.
So, thank you very much, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Phil.
And we're going to let Noddy Holder sing us out and we'll hand you over to our next host.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have almost reached the end, but we here at the KBS podcast would like to thank you all for pausing your replays of Britain's Got Talent, It Was Only an Egg for crying out loud, and taking the time to listen to our ramblings. To see us out, every month we're going to feature an unsigned band or act to showcase their talent. This month we're featuring an act called Acoustic Fruits, which is a guy called Kev Richards, who is 30 years old and has been going solo since January of this year. Search for Acoustic Fruits on Facebook for more info. All that's left for me is to thank everyone. So, Andy, Chris, Wild Bill in DHD, thank you very much. And a personal thanks to the good people at ProPlus for keeping me going into the wee small hours. As promised, here is Acoustic Fruits with a track called Tonight. See you all next month.
Such beauty I see, like the twinkling of the stars in the sky above me, as your eyes meet a wonder, baby. Could you feel the same? But then it's like a hit reality. Wonder what could you ever see in me? I've got nothing to offer you, girl. Ain't that what you'd say? Every minute of the day you're on my mind. You're all I ever. Just get with it, stop wasting time. Wanna be with you tonight. Wanna be with you tonight. I wanna be with you tonight. mesmerizes me. Makes me feel so good when you're smiling at me. Think of something to say to you, girl. And that light on my face. Every minute of the day you're on my mind. All I ever think of. I should just get with it. Stop wasting time. Wanna be with you tonight. Wanna be with you tonight. Let on my face, but every minute of the day you're on.